What is this? Elizabeth stares into the pot and wrinkles her nose. It looks like blood. Martha and Cecily turn up their noses.
Really, Mrs. Nightwing, it's unchristian, Cecily sniffs.
The younger girls are enthralled. They scream,
Let me see, let me see.
Don't be ridiculous, Mrs. Nightwing scolds. This is nothing more than sherry and molasses.
Doesn't smell like molasses or sherry, Elizabeth grumbles. Bridget pours the foul mixture into small cups.
Here, we'll all help.
The girls take the cups, doubtfully. They sniff the mixture and come away with wrinkled noses and curled lips. But each girl dutifully paints the mark on a window, and soon it becomes a merry competition to see who can complete the most. They laugh and jostle for position, but beads of sweat appear on Bridget's forehead. She wipes at them with the back of her hand. With everyone's help, we seal and mark every door, every window. Now all we can do is wait. Dusk slips too quickly into night. The pinks and blues of day shade first into grey, then indigo. I cannot will the light to stay. I cannot hold back the dark. We peer out at the violent night. The light suspense blind us to the shadows of the woods. The air has gone still as death. It's warm, and my skin's moist. I pull at my collar. By 9 o'clock, the younger girls have grown tired of waiting for the pixies to show themselves. They yawn, but Bridget tells them we're to stay together in the great room past midnight. It's part of the game, and they accept it. The older girls share disapproving glances about gypsies in our midst. They gossip over their needlework, small stitches to match their small talk. I am alert and afraid. Every sound, every movement terrifies. Is that them? Have they come for us? But no, it is only the creak of a floorboard, the hiss of the gas lamp. Mrs. Nightwing has a book in her hands, but she's not reading a word of it. Her eyes dart from the doors to the windows as she watches, waits. Felicity and Dan play whist in Felicity's tent, but I am far too agitated to join them. Instead, I hold Mother Elena's hand and keep watch over the mantel clock as if I can divine the future there. 10 o'clock, 15 after, 1:30. Will this day pass uneventfully? Have I been mistaken again? The second hand moves. To my ears it sounds like the firing of a cannon. 3, boom, 2, boom, 1. By 11 o'clock, most of the girls have fallen asleep. Kartik and Falson keep steady watch by the closed doors, stopping occasionally to glare at one another. Beside me, Mother Elena has drifted into fitful sleep. Those of us still awake sit straighter, alert to danger. Mrs. Nightwing places her book on the end table. Bridget clutches her rosary beads. Her lips move in silent prayer. The minutes tick past. 5, 10, 15. Nothing. Outside, the dark is quiet, undisturbed. 11:30. Only a half hour left in the day. My eyelids have begun to feel heavy. I am slipping under sleep spell. The clock's rhythm eases me into rest. Click, click, click. Silence. My eyes snap open. The clock on the mantel has stopped. The great room is as quiet as a tomb. Kartik draws his dagger.
What is it?
Bridget whispers. Miss McCleary shushes her. I hear them too. The faint sounds of horses outside on the lawn, the sharp caw of a crow. The colour drains from Mrs. Nightwing's face. Mother Elena has stirred from her slumber. She clutches my hand tightly.
They have come, she says.